for older people false stating. For more tips on making homes safer, visit orthoinfo.org/false. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association.
Now please clean the gutters. Just be careful on the ladder.
Transmission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, in.
I'm Sarah Beck for the U.S. Department of Agriculture with a quiz. Round steak is considered a good economy cut. True or false? True. Round steak is not quite as tender and juicy as some other cuts, but it has very little waste and can be made tender. Let the USDA quality grades be your guide to the right cooking method. For more free information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
Whatever I can, be it early morning, late afternoon, or at night. 1975, purred away real horror show. A nice, warm, vibratory feeling all through your gutty wits. Soon it was trees and dark, my brothers, with real country dark.
No, no, don't do that. If you shoot him, you'll just make him mad.
You want to die out here, huh? Well, then die. I tell you what, I'm not going to die.
Not Terry.
I'm not going to die. No, I'm going to kill the bear. Say it, I'm going to kill the bear. Say it, I'm going to kill the bear. Say it. Say I'm going to kill the bear. Say it.
I'm going to kill the bear.
Say it again.
I'm going to kill the bear.
And again. I'm going to kill the bear. Good. What one man can do, another can do.
What one man can do, another can do.
Say it again.
What one man can do, another can do.
And again.
What one man can do, another can do.
Yeah. You're goddamn right.
Time to pay the fiddler. Every damn night.
And it's the puppy's artwork. Is there anybody hiding there in the dark?
Mouth come out, wherever you are.
I'll rip out your eyes and piss on your brain.
Now, Mr. Evil.
Dr. Evil. I didn't spend 6 years in evil medical school to be called Mr. Thank you very much.
Are you lost, sweetheart? Are you afraid, honey?
I'll get you, my pretty.
Can't just go around doing whatever you feel like. You can't. There are rules in life.
There happens to be a lot about me that you don't know, Mr. Smarty Man.
You gotta do something or just stand there and bleed.
You doing it or watching it? I used to feel real on a show.
WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. My name is Chris Earle. This is Derek Gary. How you doing, Derek?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Boy, is it loud. Oh, my goodness.
We made it through Halloween.
Yeah.
You didn't need to turn that down.
Holy moly. Yeah. Let me put this back on. 1 second. Let's try that. I think that's a little better.
Is that working any better for you?
Oh my god.
I got broken headphones too. Notice how this does this.
It's not supposed to. We got a couple of them. Looks like they're all broken here.
Not supposed to do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's see what these do.
Are those in one piece? I turned down the volume.
Here's
on
some
those.
Everyday horrors. All right. These ones are okay.
Yeah.
Not great. And I can't. Oh, can you turn down the volume on that one a little bit for me?
This one?
Yeah. There we go. Everyday horrors right here.
So that one's off. I think this one's mine. This one's good. How's this one? This sound good?
Give me a little less on the other one. Yeah, let me see. Is it this one?
No, it's this one over here.
That's what I got. No, it's this one. Okay.
Oh no.
Did you do it?
Yeah.
Do it again. Put it up a little bit.
Keep going. testing.
Down even more.
Tell me where you're good.
A little less? Yeah.
A little less? I'm going up in volume as I'm doing this.
So. Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, why would we both be going up in volume?
No.
That one's yours.
No, my voice is going up in volume
as
I'm turning it down.
I see. No, I thought you were turning up mine for me.
Yeah.
Where's mine for me?
No, that's yours.
Oh, that's mine.
Like, how's your level?
Yeah, I need to go down a little.
Okay. If I go down anymore,
now I can't hear anything.
Okay, how's that?
A little up.
Yeah.
A little more.
Yep.
A little more.
Yeah.
It's super sensitive, like
it
me.
It is.
All right, a little more. Up more. Give it a good twist.
What are you trying to do? Save your hearing?
There you go. One more.
Okay.
All right. Actually, give me a little more.
Okay. See, I knew you wanted more.
That's good.
You're telling me to go down.
Go up some more. I can't hear Frankenstein, and Frankenstein's really good.
Well, you got Frankenstein kind of low in the background, so.
Let me put it up. How's that? Can you hear Frankenstein good?
Yeah. That's yeah, all right.
We'll start the show.
All right.
Wow, 10 minutes in.
This has been the Technical Difficulties Hour, brought to you by WMFO Medford.
Yeah, you know what, though? We weren't at fault on this one.
Yeah, no.
Not at all.
We're
professional.
The DJ headphones aren't functioning. The guest headphones are in various states of disrepair.
Yeah.
Apparently, it was quite a Halloween weekend around here.
Yeah,
they
must have just been throwing headphones at each other.
The email went out earlier today, which I'm sure you saw, saying, please stop destroying the station.
I did see that. So I didn't think everything would be destroyed. I thought maybe one or two, but I didn't think everything would be. So both of yours, right and left, are working on the headphones?
Yeah, but my right one is sort of akimbo.
It's also, it's off your ear.
Yeah, it's akimbo. I think I can... If I
know her.
If I do
she
this,
Japanese?
Yeah, yep. But if I turn it this way,
yeah,
it's an ancient Japanese art of self-defense.
And you have the Japanese flag on your hat, so it actually is kind of nice.
Or my Olympics hat,
nice.
which I enjoy.
Nice. Yeah. So I guess the first thing to talk about is, what do you do for a horror show 2 days after Halloween? People are horrid out? I'm not really. I am and I'm not.
Well, here's the thing, is I am never truly horrored out.
Yeah.
But I look at talking about horror movies a couple of days after Halloween in the same vein as trying to sell a pine tree on December 25th.
Sure, or July 4th eggnog.
Yeah, you missed your date. You know, and it's like, I got the thing. I don't want to hear about the thing right now. Is there some other thing that you can do for me?
I like the champagne on January 2nd, too.
So yep. I've been posting on Facebook for several years now.
Yes.
Horror movie reviews, and I do a series called The Friday Night Frights. And the rules of the Friday Night Frights are very simple. It has to be something that is freely available, so you can either watch it on Tubi, as you like to call it.
I love Tubi.
Or the tubes of you.
IP freely.
Yes. And ideally, it has to be something from the golden age of the video store.
Okay.
Right? So these are all the movies that you'd rent on Friday night and go home and watch and laugh at with your friends, or have a couple of beers with your friends. It's like, oh, let's rent this one. The cover looks good.
Right.
So that's what that series is all about. So last year, and I'm doing this again this year, after Halloween and after like months of watching nothing but horror movies, I needed to downshift.
Sure.
So I decided to talk about something equally horrifying, which is 1970s television variety specials.
Yeah, I followed it and it was good.
And I'm doing that again this year. I'm going to have the first one up on Friday, which is going to be, well, we'll talk about it. We're going to talk about it in a bit.
Very good, yeah.
But that's my change of pace, is to talk about the terrible, and man, 1978 was a bad year.
Yeah, 78?
78.
78?
78 was the year when all the really bad stuff happened.
You know what,
a lot of it.
I was seven, so I loved it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when I had all the Star Wars figures. I had, you know, Grease was a big one that year. I got to hear the first F-bomb in a movie, and I repeated it various times when I got home, much to my mom's chagrin.
Yeah, my son is repeating that word for me.
Yeah, there's an everyday horror. The parents that are swearing. Well, what do you think? What's going to happen with Bobby when he hears his first swear? What do you think it's going to be?
We're past it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah? What did he go for? How old was he?
So this is... he's been swearing for a few months now.
Okay.
And he's 2.5.
Yep.
I blame the mother.
Okay.
So what he does is he will walk around the house saying, mother effer, mother effer, mother
really?
Effer.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which he learned from his mother.
That's a big one. Yeah.
And then when you tell him to stop saying that, he looks at you and he goes, come on. And he throws his arms out and he says, come on.
Yeah.
That he learned from me.
All right. That's pretty good.
He has a wicked sense of comic timing.
Yeah.
Which means we're doomed.
Yeah.
And he thinks it's all incredibly hilarious. And he lives for those reactions.
Mm-hmm.
So I keep having to tell my beloved wife, don't swear in front of the child.
Yeah. Well, hey, you got past it, I think.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And apparently it's not uncommon for kids to do this, but...
So it's not really a horror then. It's only a horror in mixed company.
It's a horror in mixed company. And it's one of those things that every day, every week when we drop him off at play school...
Yeah.
And they have him for a few hours, I worry that the phone is going to ring. Mm-hmm. And they're going to say, your son will not stop swearing. Please come and get him.
I don't remember my own swear word, of course. You probably don't either. But I remember my my little brother George. We were at Friendly's, and he was, I think he was two. Let me think. He was either two or three. And he was looking at the ice cream menu, and he dropped it. And he just yelled in the complete disgust, the S-bomb. And there was this bikey guy with his girlfriend next to us, and they were ordering food. And this is the early 80s.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is a taboo. So my stepfather and me and my mom, we were kind of like looking around and like not laughing. And then the motorcycle guy and his girlfriend started dying laughing. And then we laughed. And then George had no idea, you know, why he was just sad.
Yeah.
You know, it was so funny. I just remember that. It's just hilarious. I think that's an everyday horror for people, though, when the kids learn to swear. Or how about teenagers having sex for the first time? That's got to be an everyday horror for parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll worry about that in 10 years.
Yeah. Well, he's only, what is he? He's two.
Yeah.
You're going to worry about that in 10 years.
Well, 12 years. But, you know, whatever it is.
That's really early. That's a real horror.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I don't know. I was thinking of some horrible things, and I'm thinking of horrible things today. And I'm like, well, you know, I want to say, how was Halloween? Was it any good? Did you enjoy it?
It was a mixed bag. Let me put it that way, because Halloween, yep, for me began with my brother-in-law's funeral.
Right, right.
And Halloween morning began with me out in back of the house, wondering if I was even going to make it through the day.
Okay.
And we got through the funeral and got home, and I had like 2 hours between that and when the trick-or-treat craziness started.
Yeah.
And I was raking leaves and doing a couple of small things, and it's like, it comes back around.
Yeah.
You know, so I got my second wind.
Muttering mother effer to yourself?
No, yeah.
With the raking the leaves?
No, I don't mind raking the leaves. That I'm trying to grow some grass out in front of my house before the end of the season.
Not weed or like regular grass?
No, like regular grass.
Okay.
Not like the season seems to want to end this year.
Yeah.
So I've had to pull the leaves off of it at least a couple of times a week, and I'm growing grass, so I don't mind.
Yeah.
But by the time we got into the trick-or-treating and the rest of it, I was pumped up again, you know, because the kids get so excited.
Sure.
And here's another everyday horror for you. We went out with our neighbors up the street. Bobby loves the kids. The kids love Bobby. We all get along. It's great.
Yeah.
Love hanging around with them. And we get up to the top of our street after some trick-or-treating, and there were neighbors around the corner that I desperately wanted to go see because they love Bobby. And they were going up to a relative's house further up Albion Street. So I said, you know, we'll go this way. You'll go that way. You know, enjoy the rest of your Halloween night.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I started taking Bobby across the street, he started to howl.
Yeah.
And he was inconsolable for a good 5 minutes.
Did he turn into a werewolf?
He turned into a screaming, wriggling, writhing, aggravated, irritated, overtired, get me away from this person and let me do what I want to do, little boy.
Oh. Was he in costume?
He was in costume. Yeah. And I was wearing a costume, too. I'm dressed up as a football referee.
Yep, yep.
Because it's the one costume that I could find in like 5 minutes rooting through the drawer.
Sure.
The thing that I worry about as a middle-aged man with a two-year-old out at night on Halloween with a screaming, writhing toddler in my hands.
Yeah.
Who very clearly wants to get away from me because he wants to go do something else, is that other people are going to see this and make the wrong assumption about what is happening in this dynamic.
Yeah.
They're going to look at me and say, he's abducting that child, and the black and whites are going to pull up, and I'm going to have to explain myself to the police.
Yeah.
And that's sort of, so I'm trying to calm the child while at the same time, you know, looking reassuring to everyone around me that the child is just being unhappy. I'm not someone who's snatching him in the middle of trick-or-treating.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you look that age, though, you know, because you're an older dad.
I get people all the time, are you his father or his grandfather?
Oh.
And it's, I don't look that old.
You don't look like a grandfather, but you look like a mystery man. You look like a 50s mystery man.
Yeah, it's, you know? It's sort of, you know, what's the deal with this?
You know,
is that, and it's like, this is my son, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm kind of the weird guy. I got a bus stop, like, right outside my house, you know?
And it's like, I got all these kids down there. Yeah. And I'm just wandering around the yard, and they're like, there's that weird guy.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't have any kids. But I say hi to them, you know. I never say get off my lawn. I'd like to for a few of them. Some of them go in the woods. One of them left, like, their bicycle in the woods for, like, days. I called the cops. I'm like, I put it on the side of the road. I'm like, I'm taking this bike. I said, I don't know if it's an abandoned bicycle or some kids stole it and put it in the woods, but I took it outside.
Yeah.
I have a good everyday horror for you. So I'm delivering, as you know, I've been moonlighting. I've been delivering some pizzas. And I'm on the road yesterday, and we decided to go as the crew of the Star Trek Enterprise, both the Next Generation and Classic.
Nice.
And I was dressed up as Captain Kirk. So as I'm taking a little break yesterday at work, I'm going to grab us some coffees, and there's a van, an SUV, comes off the highway, and it rolls in front of me and smashes into two cars.
Nice.
About two or three cars in front of me. So here I am. There is no first responders on site. So what do? Is I roll down my window and I get out of my car and I start rushing up to see if everybody is okay. And a few people started to gather. And then I realized I have a phaser and a belt on, and I'm dressed as Captain James T. Kirk responding as a first responder to a car accident. And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, it was horrible, but it was amusing thinking about it afterwards. And somebody got on the phone. They called out the police. The police were on there within a few minutes. They ended up spraying down the street. They flipped over the car again.
Oof.
Luckily, nobody. There was no fatality, but a few people were banged up, brought to the hospital. But, yeah, I was 30 seconds away from being in another major car accident.
Yikes.
And I wasn't, only because I went and I threw out the trash before I left for coffee.
Nice.
If I had been 30 seconds earlier, I probably would have been pegged and been in that accident.
You know, people
so it's
who do
wild.
People who do their chores seem to have fewer incidents in their lives.
Yeah.
Now, what you should have done is pulled out your tricorder.
Yeah.
And started waving it.
Scanning
at people.
Scanning it. Yeah. Yeah. I need bones.
Yeah.
I needed bones there. I needed the medical doctor is what I needed. Bones was back at the shop. But yeah. So here I am. They needed a light blue shirt there, and here I am as Captain Kirk. Yeah. Just, you know.
Did people assume you were in charge?
They did, actually. They were just like, they looked at me kind of bizarre, like, what the hell is Captain Kirk doing here? And I had, like, the pot going for the side and stuff, and then I'm like, and plus I look like William Shatner now, not like William Shatner at 30.
Right.
You know, so I got a little meat on me. I'm like, fat Captain Kirk's coming to save the day. But luckily everybody was all right, like I said, but still a wacky one. I mean, I've only seen two cars flipped in my life, and yeah, this was pretty wild. I'm like, oh my God, like right in front of me.
This past summer, we had somebody shooting up my street,
yep,
slam into a parked car and flip over in front of our house.
Wow.
So I was the first one out there, and I'm, you know, yelling at Molly, call 911, and, you know, talking to there was a woman and her dog in the car. They walked away with just minor scrapes.
Yeah.
Which was great. But she was going way too fast.
Yeah.
And when she hit that, totaled the parked car, which probably shouldn't have been parked on the street, but
yeah,
people do it. You know, you've got a situation where you've got a street where everybody drives way too fast.
Yep.
And people who occasionally park cars in front of their houses.
Yep.
And she just clipped it and went over.
Yeah. Wow. It's crazy. I'll tell you, that's one of the biggest fatalities for people under 50 is car accidents.
Yeah.
You know, never mind just drunk driving, but, you know, person might have been on the phone. They might not have just seen the end of the highway. I mean, it was basically an off ramp, and they came shooting right through it.
Wow!
Slammed into the two other cars. Yeah, yeah. But the background's Barry Lyndon here. Not really a horror movie, but kind of fun to go with everyday horrors today. I had American Werewolf in Paris in there, and started off with I'm Your Boogeyman, KC, and the Sunshine Band. So you didn't see Halloween Ends, you said?
I haven't seen Halloween Ends yet because
it's all right.
Peacock.
Yeah, and it's all right. Not,
what did Peacock just get their hands on? They just grabbed, oh, all the Hallmark movies.
I got my hands on my Peacock.
They're like the sole source of streaming for Hallmark movies now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Which I don't know.
Oh, that channel just blows up, especially after Thanksgiving. Well, about a week before Thanksgiving up until Christmas.
Yeah.
All the ladies, and I hate to say that, and some of the gay men, they'll watch the Hallmark.
Straight men will watch them, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I've been known to enjoy a Hallmark.
Come on, really?
I've been known to enjoy a Hallmark movie.
Yeah, but you're getting a little sugar afterwards after watching it. Yeah, for
no.
sex.
No,
yeah.
Molly
watching
doesn't.
It for sex.
Molly doesn't like them.
No, all right.
I watch them, and she's like, oh, God, the Hallmark movies are back.
Yeah. I almost thought we should do a real Broadway show today, a real Hallmark show. Something like that, just to throw everybody, you know, out there like, oh my God, what are they doing? Hey, this is horrible. Another everyday horror.
Broadway's good.
A horror show that turns into a Broadway show.
But
yeah, I like the Broadway too.
Well, what's wrong with Hallmark movies?
I don't know. I watched a couple. I wanted to slip my wrists after watching a couple of them. I'm like, what is going on here?
Well, come on, really?
Yeah, it's too much for me. Too saccharine.
But that's the whole
point. Too saccharine.
That's the
whole
point.
I don't have
a
sweet tooth.
That's the whole point. It's just a little oasis of people being nice to each other.
Yeah, but that's not my life.
In the middle of the nonsense.
That's not my life. I was surrounded by horrible people.
No, so. I understand. So am I. Yeah. But, you know, I can throw on a movie and watch other people be happy for 2 hours.
Yeah,
and
I don't know.
Find out what Target has on sale this week, and everything's good.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, it makes me want to make some cocoa and, you know, profess my undying affection for my wife in the kitchen.
I won't be watching any Hallmark movies anytime soon, but you enjoy yourself.
In the most chaste way imaginable, because all of those movies follow the same formula.
Yeah.
The Hallmark movie ends with the kiss.
Nice.
There is no kiss before the end of the Hallmark
movie.
See,
I need a little more than that. I need a little, you know...
Somewhere,
some activity downstairs or something by the end of the movie.
At the end of
at least
act,
with a towel or something.
At the end of Act Two,
yeah.
There will be an attempted kiss that is thwarted either due to a misunderstanding or due to the machinations of another person.
Yeah.
And Act Three is about overcoming that misunderstanding or the machinations of that other person.
That's funny that you're mentioning this because I thought one of the everyday horrors was dating. And it's difficult to think about that now because we're middle-aged men, but I just remember not knowing what the hell to do to talk and like how to talk to a girl, how to ask her out. I was petrified of everything. And you don't get much better at it as you get older.
No,
somebody's always kind of steering the relationship, especially if you have somebody that steered a whole bunch of relationships, you're in big trouble. But, I just thought, man, that's an everyday horror. It's so awkward. And I can't even imagine being a young boy now dealing with dating. I'd just be like, forget it. I'd either become a monk, asexual, or I'd just make out with my best friend and be done with it.
I don't know what the kids are doing these days, but apparently it got easier.
Yeah.
You know, apparently everybody was just like, you state your intentions and let's move on, you know?
Yeah. They just let you know beforehand.
Because we all knew that guy, right?
Which guy?
We all knew that guy. We all had friends who was that guy.
That got all kinds of sex?
Who would just walk up to girls and be like, hey.
Yeah.
And they're like, and
it's my brother Eric.
Yeah. He gives them the look and they immediately know where he's coming from.
Yeah.
And they either giggle and walk away or they're like, hey.
Yeah.
And if you get the hay back, you're it.
Yeah, he'd get a lot of sugar and then, you know, you'd dump him after a date or two.
I was that guy when I was in college. I didn't dump him after a day or two.
Yeah.
But I was that guy when I was in college where it was like women were just, you know, I'd walk up to him and be like, hey, and suddenly the eyes start fluttering. It's like, oh, hi.
Yeah.
You're talking to me.
Nice.
That immediately disappeared when I graduated college, put on 15 pounds and started losing my hair.
Yeah. I was always eating calzones and hanging with my friends, drinking beers, playing hearts. And I guess I had a little bit of game, but, you know, I don't know. I got lots of friends that are women. And then I realized, and my friends like, well, you know why you have lots of friends that are women? They all want to have sex with you. I'm like, no, they don't.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
They don't. The women.
Few of them do.
A few, yeah. There's always a couple in there.
Yeah.
And if you want to completely destroy the friendship, you can go ahead and do that.
Oh, yeah. We've done that a couple of times.
Yeah. That happens to everybody.
Yeah.
But I went from this situation where I was like magic with the ladies.
Nice.
To a couple of years after college, like women wouldn't talk to me at all.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd be out and I'd be like, hey, and they're like, please.
Now men don't talk to you at all.
Please don't look at me. Please, please move away from me.
Yeah.
And I went for like 10 years with like nothing going on.
Really?
Yeah.
Not even talking to a woman?
I mean, talking to a woman, like the occasional date here and there.
I'm sure.
Like, my poker buddies fixing me up with people, but nothing that really lasted.
I always found people at work, you know? Never at a bar. No. At work or at school.
Not even
so much at school, more at work.
I had a thing about not dating coworkers.
Yeah. Yeah, so did I. I completely messed that one up.
Yeah. Because it's like there were office relationships, you know, because one of my first jobs the office was full of young people and everybody was pairing off. And,
nice, yeah.
You know, the couples were all out having a great time.
Plus stressful job. You want to go out boozing afterwards and hanging out, listening to tunes,
and there were,
smoking cigarettes.
There were a couple of girls at that job that were into me.
Yeah.
There was one of them who was married, like made out with me at an office party. And that was a source of some scuttlebutt the next day.
Yeah.
But there was one girl who really liked me, but she was working for me.
Yeah.
And the one thing that you really couldn't do at all, you may have thought about dating a coworker, and I actually did date a coworker after she went to another job.
Yeah.
But you absolutely could not, under any circumstances, date somebody that you supervised.
Hmm. That I made out with the director in the elevator once, years ago.
Nice.
It was awesome. Yeah. That was it.
That was a huge no-no.
It was a party, yeah. But we didn't continue. But it was fun.
It was like, we used to go out for lunch all the time. We'd go out and have drinks after work and be out until like 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and then we'd just go our separate ways. It was painfully obvious to everybody around us and us that there was something there, but it just wasn't anything you could act on.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there should be a course in school. There should be a course on dating. There should be also more on driving a car. I think plumbing, heating, electric, changing a tire, oil, things like that. Things that we don't normally get
don't
at school.
Don't people have dads? Well, they've fixed the cars now.
Not really.
So you don't have to do any
Even
of that
Even people
anymore.
With dads don't have dads. I speak from experience there.
Come on, dads. Step it up.
I know.
Dads need to get it done.
Yeah. A lot of them are like, yeah. A lot of people are like, oh, you're so lucky to still have your parents. I'm like, eh. You know.
I say yes because I don't have mine.
Yeah, yeah.
But the car thing...
Yeah, but I'd rather have yours back in mine.
But the car thing...
That's a horror right there. Son that hates you. That's horrible, huh?
The only thing you're going to have to do is change a tire, because the electric cars, there isn't anything else there that you can service.
Yeah.
You know, you plug it in, you drive it, and maybe you change a tire once in a while. They have people who will drive over and change your tire for you now.
Yeah. That's cool.
No, it's not.
That's pretty cool,
though.
That's
100% unnecessary.
Yeah, you know...
Because here's what happens. You break down on the highway.
You know
right?
what, though? When you get older, man, I'd rather... I don't mind being in my 20s and 30s and doing it myself. Well, I was hurt at 27, but like now I'd love to have a guy come over and fix my tire if I'm on the road.
Here's the thing. You break down on the highway.
Yep.
Right? And you pull over to the side of the road because you got a flat tire.
Mm-hmm.
Now the traffic is backing up behind you.
Yeah.
Because everybody's got a rubberneck and see why the car is over on the side of the road.
Yeah, yeah.
You're standing there giving them
finger. There's and, Jim Kirk with a broken down tire.
Yeah, you give them the middle finger with one hand and pointing the tire with the other.
Yeah.
Instead of doing the adult responsible thing and getting out the tire and changing it and ending the traffic jam, you're going to call somebody to come out and change your tire. And they have to sit in the traffic jam that you created to get to your vehicle.
But honestly, if you call somebody like my dad, he shows up 3 hours later. So you're better off calling up, you know, AAA, you know, instead of the single A. So, yeah. No, these are good everyday horrors, you know. I think the dating thing's a real one. It's a doozy. It's going to get weird. It's going to get worse and worse. Do you think kids are going to keep having kids? They will, but do you think they'll be having as many kids?
They're not.
They're going to wait until later?
Like,
yeah.
Everybody, one of the stories that keeps coming up, and you've got those people out there who are like, overpopulation, overpopulation, overpopulation. No, the reality is in the Western world, people are waiting until later in life to have kids.
Yeah, I mean, you guys waited later in life. I don't have any, so.
And they're not having kids at the replacement rate.
Yeah.
You're actually supposed to have like 2.5 kids to maintain the replacement rate.
I'd take half a kid, maybe the top half.
Nobody's doing that.
Yeah.
You know, I've got families on either side of me that have 4 kids.
Mm-hmm.
The family across the street has 2, and they're probably done. We have 1. So out of these four families that I mentioned, I think we cover the replacement rate.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. There's no excess. The population is actually going down, and it's starting to become a concern for forward-thinking people, bankers, not political leaders, because political leaders are only interested in getting your vote today.
I say less and less.
Yeah. So the population.
I'm like Ra's al Ghul from Batman. I want to see like 10% of the population.
But here's the thing. The population, what you lose is the population of young people.
Sure.
Which
that's
means
fine with me.
10 years from now, when we need strapping young people to lift things for us, they're not going to be around.
Now that's when you call up the AAA guy to fix things.
There isn't going to be a AAA guy because they couldn't hire the AAA guy because nobody had any kids.
Yeah. I don't know. I saw this little thing on the train tracks today. It was a bunch of construction guys, and they're standing around, and they had the smallest little shovel. It was like a bulldozer, but it had like a scoop on it. And I'm like, that's the coolest thing ever. And I'm like, if I was like 12, I would be like digging up every single rock in the yard. I'm like, everybody needs one of these. So we'll have mechanics like that to help us out. We don't need teenagers.
Well, you still need people to lift things.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to carry stuff into your house. You're not going to do it.
You know what, though? Everybody has to direct the teenager. You have to say stuff like 10 times to them now.
Yeah, but they still get it done eventually, which is better than trying to do it yourself and throwing your back out. You know how that goes. Yeah. I know how that goes.
You know what I notice every time I was delivering like something to a school? Like all the middle-aged teachers are all like yelling at me like to do stuff. And I'm like, I'm not a kid. It's like, you're not having sex with me. I'm not a kid. Shut up. Like, don't tell me what to do. But I'm a man.
That's how their profession has taught them to communicate.
I know. It's crazy.
Because they got to spend all miserable yelling at kids trying to get them to do something.
They're all miserable. Everybody else is usually happy. It's like I'm bringing them a pizza or a sub. And they're like, hey, what's up, buddy? Teachers, not so much.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. So let's put on a little Thriller in the background, I think.
Nice.
We never did Thriller. You know, I'll put that on in the background. We'll get rid of this Barry Lyndon.
I think as far as the kids go, I think they're still doing the sex.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they are.
You know? It's weird because in the 2000s, they became very open about the fact that they were doing the sex. And they were doing the sex on the internet all the time. And everybody knew who was doing the sex.
What do you mean? They're having sex with each other on the internet?
Oh, yeah.
You mean like they're looking at each other having sex?
Well, they're looking at each other having sex, but that means somebody somewhere is having sex for them to look at it.
Oh, sure.
You know, I worked in an office out in California with a bunch
sex
of these.
Sex office?
With a bunch of these like 18, 19 year olds.
Yep.
And the stuff they were telling me was insane. Like all they were doing was having sex.
Yeah.
Nobody was actually dating. They'd go to a party and everybody would have sex.
Really?
Yeah.
This is in California though.
But I imagine, you know, what's going on in California is generally going on in the rest of the country.
A lot of E there.
And this came up at one point because one of them got AIDS.
Sure.
And then six of them had AIDS.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, it's like the COVID.
And that's, you know, they were sort of pretending that they were the post-AIDS generation.
Yeah, that's COVID 1.0, is AIDS.
Yeah, they really weren't. So I don't know what the Zoomers are doing. For everything that the Zoomers share online, which is mostly their furious political beliefs, they don't seem to share anything personal.
Mm.
So I believe they're having the sex. I'm not 100% certain they're having the sex. But sex and dating got decoupled in a way that it really wasn't when we grew up. Because we grew up like in between the war on teenage pregnancy, which was still very much a thing from the 1970s when people got pregnant at 16 and dropped out of high school and had a kid.
Yeah.
Because they were dating 24 and 25 year olds.
Mm-hmm.
More on that later, kids. And the 1980s when HIV came along and everybody was like, eh? Unprotected sex, know who you're sleeping with, and everybody kind of stepped back from the let's have wild orgies all the time thing that had been going on in the 70s. So we kind of got pushed back into that 1950s, 1960s, you got to go steady, you got to earn my trust, you know.
I guess a little
bit,
maybe.
And then maybe I'll go to bed with you.
Yeah.
And there are strict limits on what I will and won't do.
Nah. Two dates. That's it for me. If I don't get the sugar on the second date, I'm out of there.
You could wrangle one-night stands.
Yeah, yeah.
But you were definitely more suspicious about the people you could wrangle one-night stands with.
Yeah.
Because every time you did that, maybe you're catching something that's going to change your life forever.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Should have dated more rich girls. I did some bottom of the barrels.
I don't think I ever dated. I don't think I ever dated any rich girls. I knew rich girls.
Oh yeah.
I knew a couple of heiresses.
Yeah. Nice.
And yeah.
Did they have a lot of shoes? Most of the ones I knew had a lot of shoes.
One of them was in full-on Patty Hearst style rebellion against her family.
Wow.
So she was very, she wasn't out like activist and all the rest of that. She was a folk singer.
Yeah.
And she was very down to earth and just, you know, had one denim jacket and one guitar. She wore jeans everywhere. And, you know, she was really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very clear that she didn't want to have anything to do with the family fortune. The other one had an apartment on Marlborough Street.
In Boston?
In Boston.
Yep, yep.
And even today, an apartment on Marlborough Street is a status symbol.
Sure.
She actually lived across the street from Rick Ocasek and Paulina Portsakova.
Oh, nice.
And you could sit in her living room and see what Rick and Paulina were doing every night.
Yeah, pretty much nothing.
Pretty much nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just what I needed.
So she was definitely like a little bit of upper class.
Yeah.
She didn't lord it over anybody. She wasn't a princess. She wasn't. But she liked the finer things, and she wanted a certain level of lifestyle.
Oh, sure.
It.
Yeah, they all do. Yep. You can't settle for less.
You can.
You can. Usually it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Somebody gets frustrated.
But these were both like daughters of Fortune 50 companies.
Yeah.
You know, these were houses. And then they were just sort of the nouveau riche hanging around when I was in college. And, mm-hmm. you know, my school attracted a lot of people who could afford to pay the tuition.
Sure.
Without thinking about it.
Yep.
So there was a healthy amount of wealthy people hanging around there, and not as many like lower end of the scale.
Yeah.
There were a few, and they tended to be a lot more fun.
Here's the everyday horror. How about the everyday horror of paying off your college tuition? I never had to do that. I went to a state school and paid for it, and that was it.
Yeah.
What do you think about all these people that are getting all their money back? I'd go back to school. Wouldn't you?
No. Because at this point
in life, no. But 30 years ago, I would have.
At 30 years ago, I would have
gone and get a doctorate if everybody's going to pay for it. Sure.
We should not be doing that.
Oh, I don't think we should be doing it either.
We absolutely should not be doing that. Because the real problem with it is my dad took out a second mortgage to pay for my college tuition.
Yeah.
And he paid that off. And there was no relief coming my way.
Sure.
There's no relief. So anybody who paid off their own... who paid their own way through or worked their way through or did any of that, now gets to sit there and see somebody who got thousands and thousands of dollars just magically erased from the ledger.
Yeah, just bizarre, huh? I'm just like, what is going on? It's just so bizarre to me.
There's a word for it, and I believe the word is pandering.
Sure,
That's a college word.
Yeah.
Right? Pandering. You might want to look that one up if you don't know what it means. I look at it this way, and I've been saying this for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first started saying this, I would immediately have a dozen people pounce on me.
What's that?
And say, how dare you say that? Now, I get a lot of people agreeing with me. The vast majority of college degrees are entirely unnecessary.
Oh, I completely agree with you. I completely agree with you.
I don't want a doctor that didn't go to college.
Yeah.
I don't want an engineer that didn't go to college.
Mm-hmm.
I probably don't want a lawyer that didn't go to college.
Yeah. You never know.
I don't care what kind of degree my barista has. I don't care what.
Yeah, but that barista may be looking for another job.
I don't care what field of study the marketing people excelled in college. I'm not interested in your gender studies degree if you're working at the bar or landscaping or and this is the thing. Our generation was sold this idea that you had to go to college if you wanted to be successful.
Agreed.
And it was enforced by employers with jobs that had no college requirement necessary.
Yes.
As a way of weeding out the wackos. And that's really what that was. It became an HR gatekeeping thing where human resources would post a job.
Yeah.
And inevitably, like 5 or 10 crazy people apply.
That's right.
And if you ask for a college degree, only 1 or 2 crazy people would apply. So if I can get rid of 4 to 8 crazy people by requiring a degree, I will do that.
I know plenty of people with degrees that are badass crazy.
Oh, but I'm just looking at it from the HR perspective.
Sure.
We all know people with degrees who are completely out of their minds.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because you can get, you will, if you have the money, you will get a degree.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. I mean, basically all it comes down to is, are you going to pay the tuition? Then you will get a degree. Yeah. You don't even have to show up to class. You know, and we learned this during COVID too. It's like, how can you send kids through one and then another year of classes when they're not at school and they're watching from a television and half of them are asleep or not showing up? It's just bizarre. They're missing 2 years of education.
Yeah.
And formative years when their brains are ripe to absorb everything.
And I am thankful that my son missed that, and hopefully we don't go into that again.
Yeah.
But when you get to college, the only way is you are going to get expelled from a university.
Yeah.
If you've got a good credit rating.
Yeah.
Is if you commit grave bodily harm against somebody, or massive structural damage to a university facility.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about you break a window. I'm talking about they have to close the building down and rebuild it.
Yeah.
Short of those two things, you're getting a degree.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much. These are the everyday horrors. We're going to have a whole bunch of degrees out there and not a lot of talent.
Well, we got them now.
Yes.
You know, how's that gender studies degree working out for you?
Yeah. You know what, though? At least when you used to get a, you know, a BA or whatever, it's like, hey, I went to college, right? Yeah. Just like we were saying, you know, it's like, yeah, went through the trials and tribulations of being at college for 4 years and dealing with a diverse group.
It does teach you some things.
Of course it does, yeah.
You know, but those are things that you could learn at a community college for, by the way, I am 100% on board with free community college. I would like to see that happen.
Yeah, I think that's something that would be pretty good. Or I think that's something that's cool. I also would be open to continuing on with trade.
Sure.
Versus going into the military and learning something. Well, I think trade schools would be great to be able to do things that would literally set you up for 20 years to a lifetime. Learn how to be a plumber, learn how to be an electrician.
And
I would tell any kid that age to look toward that now, because you could still have no degree and still learn a whole lot. And some of my smartest friends, they don't have college degrees. No. They didn't have the money to go.
That already exists in this state. If you want to be a plumber,
yeah,
they have an apprenticeship program where they pay you during your apprenticeship. You don't make a lot of money, but they pay you during the apprenticeship program.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the apprenticeship program, you have to spend a certain amount of time working with a licensed plumber, doing union projects. And then at the end of that, you get your full license and you can go set up shop for yourself.
Which is cool, yeah.
You know who's making all the money? Plumbers.
Sure they are.
Plumbers are making bank.
Yeah, who wants to root a toilet?
Yeah.
It's awful.
Plumbers are making bank.
It's awful.
The construction union in Massachusetts has a similar program.
Yeah.
You know, where basically you learn on the job, you put in some time with them.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, you want to go out and be a contractor, you've got all that union training.
I wanted to be Johnny Tremaine. I wanted to be a silversmith until he burns his hand. And then I'm like, no silversmithing for me. Man, like that sounded horrible. It's like, yeah, all right, Johnny Tremaine's he's up and coming. Then all of a sudden burns his hand in silver. Forget it.
If you can make it as an artist, that can be, it's work.
Well, I have an artist's hands, I think.
I got a couple of artists up in Rockport that I talk to every time I go up there. They're interesting. Yeah. They're interesting guys.
Yeah. You know,
they work a lot.
Yeah.
They work hard.
Then again, I think I told you this. One of my friends, like years ago on my first job, she had a son that came home from California, and he basically had his dog. He put a kerchief on the dog. And he had a Frisbee in his hand. He went down to Boston Common, and he was just throwing the Frisbee to the kerchiefed dog, and he put a hat and some silly glasses on, and he made like $300 in a day.
Yeah.
And he did that for the week. And I'm like, what the hell am I doing answering 100 calls a day here, making like $80 take home, you know, when this lady's, you know, dog and son are making $300 a day in Boston. I was like, oh my God. I don't know. You got to find a way to work hard, work easier, I think. You know, work smarter, better than that. The American way is to do less and get more. But I think the important thing is to work smarter. And there also should be a better way of not only getting into a job, but getting out of a job. Because there's so many jobs that I stayed at way too long, either because of the people or because of the situation in life. And then you have other ones that you're like, you know. You stay there a little too short, you know. You just are working with the wrong people. Those are everyday horrors. Work is an everyday horror for everybody.
I famously went out for lunch about a month into my tenure at Lord & Taylor in Boston, and never came back.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just left?
I just left. Yeah. I was like, that's it. I'm done. I can't do this anymore.
I called my boss from the cable company, and, you know, that was another one, you know, may taking a, you know, 80 to 100 phone calls a day, and everybody was mad because their cable wasn't working. This is before broadband with internet and phone. And I called I was in Chelmsford, and I lived in Watertown at the time. And I called my boss up after lunch, and I said, hey, Mike, guess where I am? And he goes, where? And I go, home. I won't be back in for the day. And you know what? He let me come back to work.
Nice.
He let me come back for, you know, and I ended up staying a little longer. But, yeah, that job was super stressful. I put, like, 10 years of my life in two. You know, handling the worst people of all.
Yeah.
Yeah. The I want my MTV people.
Oh, yeah. My cable's not working.
They literally thought we fixed the fight against Holyfield and Mike Tyson, that we thought Mike Tyson bit his ear on purpose and that the cable company was behind it so we can make all this pay-per-view money.
Wow.
Because it was like $50 for the pay-per-view fight, and it was over in like, what, a minute and a half. So
I don't know why anybody buys those things.
I don't know. All right. Let's do what? Why don't we do this or that? What do you think?
We can. I don't have one because
I'll give you
all
one.
Right, you can give me
I'll
one.
I'll think of something. I'm going to be off the cup, and let me get the music going for it.
Because I imagine I took Monday off to go to the funeral, and it's what everyday horrors. One day out of the office,
yeah,
and now everything is backed up with like 2 weeks of work.
Yeah,
you know when you step out of the stream, and you stop catching the fish as they're going by, they all just sort of gather up in front of you. And you're standing there looking at it like, I got to do all this now?
All the salmon have made their trip upriver.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've spawned, and they're on their way out, and it will be a dark winter.
And, I guarantee you, if I'd gone in on Monday, it would have been a quiet day, and I would have gotten a few things done.
Yep.
And because it's Halloween, and everybody's, you know, it's not like the email's blowing up or the phone's blowing up and everybody's trying to get out the door at 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But you missed that one day and suddenly it's like, oh, where'd all this work come from?
I'm going to give you this or that. A rabid giant grizzly bear or a swarm of bees.
Mm.
Which one you want to go for this
week?
I'm
taking the bear.
You're going to go for the bear?
I'm taking the bear.
All right. You are on the salmon path for the bear, and you're hiking. You have a friend with you, and then there's a grizzly. The grizzly attacks the friend and takes him down, and you are sitting there, and you have only a pocket knife. You have a pocket knife.
I'm not sitting there. As soon as the grizzly's got his fangs into the friend, I'm gone.
Well, the friend, yeah, the okay.
I'm gone. That's it.
I was going to give you a pocket knife.
You gave me a friend.
All right. That's, you know, an easy this or that for this week.
You know that old line, you know. If we run into a bear, I hope you can run faster than the bear. I don't have to run faster than the bear. I just have to run faster than you.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Nice knowing you. Sorry we ran into the bear.
All right. I'm going to give you this or that. You lose an arm or you lose a leg. Which one and why?
Oh, that's a tough one. That is a tough one. I ultimately...
And it's a bear that's going to take it off.
Oh, it's a bear that's going to take it off?
Yeah.
You can have a leg.
Leg. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go with why.
Because if you, I believe it is easier to survive in our society with one leg than it is to survive with one arm. Because you can always get somebody to, you know, they have all kinds of custom prosthetics to replace legs now.
Yeah.
That can be tailored to whatever you need them to do.
However, how do you get a one-armed man out of a tree? Wave.
Yes. But whereas with the arm.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever worn a cast? Have you ever had an armored cast?
Yeah.
You know what it's like. Suddenly you can't do anything.
Well, actually, now that you mention it, I haven't had a cast on my arms, only on my legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two different times in my life, like about a year apart, I had a cast first on my left arm and then on my right arm.
Yeah.
Or no, it was the other way around. It was first the right arm and then the left arm. And it's... life-changing.
I'd go for the arm, because you don't walk on your arm. And I know how difficult it's been learning how to rewalk again after surgeries and things like that over the years. I'm going to go with the arm.
But here's the thing. Yep. We have developed every possible solution for people who have limited mobility below the waist. If you only have one arm, your violin playing days are over.
Mm-hmm. You could be Sebulba, you walk on your arms.
You're only playing half a chopsticks on the piano.
Yeah.
Good luck trying to operate a smartphone because you can't hold it and That's text all right. at the same time.
You can do other things. You can use your nose.
Keyboard speed is down by half.
Yeah. I don't know. I used to be able to walk on my toes.
You can't operate the mouse and yourself while you're looking at pornography.
I'm going to go for the arm. Because I've had so many hard times with the legs. No, I'm going to go for the arm.
Nah, take a leg.
Yeah.
Take them both.
No, and I know a few people that were in chairs, too. I would go for the arm. I'd go for the arm, you know? In the Civil War, and you know, people losing arms and legs left and right.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
Mostly awful. Legs.
Yeah. Imagine getting a cannonball. There's another one. Let's do another this or that. Let's do a cannonball. So you're
cannonball.
So you have a cannonball.
Cannonball.
Not the drink, the cannonball. But the all right. So you're a pirate. You're on a ship, and the other ship comes up and they shoot cannonballs at you. Will you take a cannonball with the ball, or will you take a cannonball with the shrapnel if it's going to hit you?
Oh, give me the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, give me the ball.
Yeah.
Because you know what they used to do?
They do everything. They just swab the deck with anything.
They
nails.
Yeah.
Bolts.
Anything that was loose,
yep.
They would throw into the cannon along with the cannonball.
Gay Jerry. Yeah.
So that when they shot it at you,
yep.
You were getting like nails and forks and bits of, you know,
teeth,
chain and whatever else they had that they could stick in a cannon.
Yeah.
And that stuff would slice you to ribbons.
Yeah, yeah.
The other thing back then is no infection control.
Oh, yes.
So
yeah,
you're,
yeah, awful.
You're far better off with a blunt force injury that you can tourniquet and cut off the limb.
Right.
And then cauterize with a torch.
Like in Master and Commander with the young boy.
Yeah.
And gets the cannonball hit.
Instead of having...
He loses an arm, by the way.
Having a bunch of small wounds that any one of them's going to get infected and then you're done.
Yeah, yeah.
You're waiting a few days for it to reach your heart and then you're over.
Oh, yeah.
Who wants sepsis and gangrene? Not me.
Nobody.
You can have the leg.
There you go. This or that. Sepsis or gangrene. Which one?
Gangrene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to take gangrene. Because sepsis, you're dead.
Sepsis, you're not...
Yeah. Pretty much.
You're not 100% dead, but you're probably dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, sepsis is everything all at once.
Gangrene, you can tell everybody you got gangrene after, and they'll buy you drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you got to take a couple of pictures of it. And be like, want to see a gnarly picture of my arm before they cut it off?
Yeah. Ugh. All right, how about... lose your nose or your ear. What do you go for? This or that?
I'd take the ear.
The ear?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Because you can lose an ear and still be charming to the ladies.
What?
Yeah. Ladies love a man with one ear.
What?
Van Gogh. Big hit with the ladies.
The headphones here are one ear, pretty much. Yeah.
You lose a nose, everybody's aware of it.
Yeah. When I was younger, I had this Bonneville. It was my first car, and I would beep the horn at people, and I'd just wave to them, because back then I used to be much more friendly, because I believed in people a lot more. And a guy turned to look at me, and he was wearing an overcoat, and he was completely missing his nose, and he looked like Darkman, like Liam Neeson after he was burnt in Darkman. I just saw like the eye sockets and the missing nose, and I was like, I am never going to beep at people and wave ever again.
Yeah.
But he actually waved at me, which was kind of funny, but I was horrified, and it was pretty scary. But I guess if you lop off your nose, it's probably worse than an ear.
These days, you could probably, you know, powder your skin white and get one of those twisted Harry Potter fans to be into you.
Yeah.
Hey, you can call me Voldemort.
That's true. Voldemort had six fingers, didn't he?
I think so.
And the six-fingered man and Princess Bride, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Six fingers used to represent luck, and you were magical. Like people born with extra digits. Would you take an extra digit or an extra ear or something? Let's go this or that with... extra finger or extra toe?
You know, if we're going down this road, I may as well take it all the way to its conclusion and say I would love to date a girl with a tail.
Yeah, I was going to go for horn or tail. What would you take?
I'd take the tail.
What if it was two horns, like little devil horns?
Yeah, what are you going to do with them?
Hold on to them.
No, you're never going to be able to wear hats.
That's all right.
No, hats are fun.
I don't know if I'd like the tail. The tail would be a little freaky for me.
No,
I think I'd like a couple of little horns there.
I think the tail would be
cool.
You
hold on to them.
I think the tail would be cool.
Yeah. I guess that's kind of says whether you're a TRA man, too.
Does
it? Yeah, a little bit. When you do the horns or the tail, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess.
I mean, most women have, you know, a couple of things that you can rub that are, you know, interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
You throw a tail in there and something, it's like,
yeah, okay, but then you got two horns, though. But not a unicorn.
You know, no.
A unicorn horn would be kind of a freak.
Yeah, I don't want the tail and the horn.
I'd take a mermaid. Would you take the mermaid or would you take the unicorn?
I got to believe that that's some really, really awkward stuff that, you know, when I was younger and more flexible. Maybe the mermaid had some appeal, but you know, as a middle-aged guy, I can't bend that well anymore. And something tells me...
Well, you're more buoyant in the water, but it's always awkward to fool around in the water,
too. Something tells me if you're with a mermaid, there's a lot of weird bending involved.
Yeah. Well, they can flop their... They got powerful fins. So, but there's nothing, you know, nothing's down there.
It's like the, you know, the other one, the minotaurs. Right?
Okay, yeah.
Because there's, like, girl minotaurs.
Is there? I thought a centaur... Well, a centaur was a...